Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Listen, I want to take some time tonight. I want to just teach you. I'm not, as crazy as him. I just want to just teach you some basics. But this is what I believe that the Lord wants us to learn. And I shared some with the men of the church this weekend, and that is, you have a pastor who has a passion to win souls. You have members here who have a passion to win souls. They are teaching you, they're giving you the Roman road. You've got those scriptures, you memorize them, man, you're using them, you're winning people to Jesus. And some of you maybe have just recently been saved. We're excited about that. But I want to tell you, as a pastor, I have been doing this for a number of years now. I've been in full-time ministry for over 45 years. And I'm 42. I don't know what to, no, I'm just kidding. I confess that, Father. But this is what I've seen. I've seen people over the years, man, they get on fire for Jesus, man. They can take on hell with a water pistol, and they get excited about winning people to Jesus, but they don't realize that it's the enemy who's coming after them. And I want to talk about that today because I want you to learn how to continue to walk in victory every single day, right? You agree with that? Is that what you want to do? You want to walk in victory? All right, so I want to go through some things. We want to talk about how you can do that. So, man, we've had a lot of fun, but I just want to share a few things, just some basic things. One is we're a trichotomy. We're body, soul, and spirit. With our body, we're world conscious. We high five each other. We don't hold hands, not men. We couldn't do that. But we put our hands on shoulders. You know, man, we embrace, we see each other. This is our body. But with our soul, we're self-conscious. We're very aware, and we pray for this family. And because in your soul, that's the seat of your emotions. You're grieving, you're hurting. Those are the things that you feel. But with our spirit, we're God-conscious. And so I want to give you a few things because the body is really, it's our five senses. We see, taste, touch, smell, we hear. We're world-conscious. But with our soul, it's our intellect, it's our emotion, it's our will. We're self-conscious. I want to show you how the enemy fights in all of those areas. And then we see our spirit, man. That is our communion, our intuition, our conscience. This is where we have to be reborn. Our spirit, man, is born again. And then these earthly bodies, this is what we have to see, is they're temporal. There's coming a day when we're going to have a glorified body that will never die, never get sick. We're going to be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're excited about that. But it's our soul and spirit that's eternal. We're made in the image of God. And so when we see who we are, we take a look at who we are, then you're going to see that how the different ways that the enemy can come in, how he can attack you when you really don't even know what's happening. And so we want to break some of that down tonight because we're living in, as you know, it's time, space, and matter. We're in this bubble of time, right? It's what we see in Genesis 1, in the beginning, right? Time. God made the heavens, space, and the earth. That's matter, right? We are now in this bubble, so to speak, of time, space, and matter. But what we see also is that we are going to have the chance to get out of that. We're going to step into eternity just like Mama did step into eternity. And no more sickness, no more death, no more disease, no more pain or agony, and no more tears. Amen? So when we see we're in this, but this is where our choices are made for our eternal destiny. Time, space, and matter. And this is what you have to, and let me just help you understand. When you're sharing with somebody, you need to remind them that in this time, space, and matter, that is where they make the decision for eternity. Because when they step out of it, the decision's made. They step out of it, and then there's no chance to make another choice. And so you see that there's the destiny has been sealed, either heaven or hell. So here's what we see. There's five doors that the enemy works on. It's in every single one of us. And here's the thing that we have to remember, and I want you to get this as a basis for this teaching. The enemy is always knocking on the doors. He's always knocking on the doors. When you grow and mature in the Lord, you're going to see that, hey, I'm not going to answer the doors. I'm going to keep those suckers shut, right? That's what we have to believe. So when we see that the enemy's constantly knocking, the enemy is spiritual, he's demonic, he's very cunning, he's strategic, he's been doing this a long, long time. So you have, as the pastor wants for you, he wants you to understand as a soul winner, you got a big target on your back. See, the enemy is not, he's not down at the bars and the clubs. Why? He's already got them. Agree? Right? You know, how many times when you were out in the world, did the devil really affect you? He's already got you. Now, the consequences of your sin can mess you up, right? But he's got you. Now, who is he afraid of? He's afraid of you. He's afraid that you're going to win people to Jesus and you're going to occupy and get the population of heaven. So here's door number one. If you're taking notes, I want to help you. Door number one is willful disobedience. Willful disobedience, all right? It's willful action or decision against the word of God. And I know what the word says, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's willful disobedience. It's our intellect, it's our emotion, it's our will. This is the area we just talked about. It's our soul. This is where the enemy, he begins to fight. It's our intellect, our emotion, and will. And this is how he does it. He will begin the war. We know that you've been taught this, that the battleground is the mind. The thoughts are coming in. And he will try to deceive you into thinking that those thoughts are going to be pleasing to you. Why? Because our flesh cannot please God. Our flesh wants to please itself. We all know that. We've all been there. We've all made those mistakes. Amen? Am I talking to the right crowd? Amen? We've all sinned. We've all done that. So as we look at this, the intellect, emotion, will, our soul, the enemy is going after our soul. Even we, if we are Christians, why? Because he knows if he gets control of our soul, then he can destroy our body as well. Amen? Why do we have rehabs? Why does your church have rehabs? Because they're bringing them out of the destruction and they're giving them new life. Amen? They gave it, and we're excited about you guys being here. Jesus, here's the intellect. Intellect is, it's a temptation. Every single one of us are going to be tempted. But you have to understand, when that thought comes in, and this is what young Christians really have a trouble with, and what that trouble is, they think, man, Pastor, I'm just having all these negative thoughts and these bad thoughts. I said, but what are you doing with them? Oh, I'm kicking them out. Well, then good. You didn't sin. I didn't sin? No, you didn't sin. Jesus was tempted in all like manner as we are, yet without sin, right? So those thoughts are going to come. They're going to bombard you sometime, but the quicker you say no, the quicker you say, get out of my face, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get away from me, you're going to see victory coming after victory. And it's going to be sometimes all day long. You got things coming your way, and you're thinking, man, how in the world? That's why you need to get into worship. That's why you need to get in the Word. And that way, once you have your mind set on those things, you don't have room for anything else. Amen? This is what we got. Jesus was tempted. So here's our emotion. We've gone from thinking to now our feelings. Get it? Intellect, emotion. So now we're thinking it. Now we're feeling it. And once we start feeling it, that's when we start to get in trouble. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Start getting in trouble, thinking about it, we're feeling it, it's our emotions, they start to take over because our sinful nature kicks in and the ungodly desires begin to pull on the reins of our flesh. That's how we have fallen in our past. We think about it, oh, I think that's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be good. I think you ought to do it. You know what? I think I should do it. And then we start feeling it. Man, that's going to feel pretty good. I think I'm going to like that. What is your flesh saying? Your flesh is saying, ooh, you need to do that. Then you come to the next one. You come to your will. And your will is you choose to do it, right? That's our will. Of our own will, driven by the thought of it and the desire to do it. Now of our own will, we choose to commit that sin. And here's the thing. We brush away the potential of what the consequences are going to be, right? You may take a way that will help you overcome some of the things that you're dealing with right now. Think about the end of it. After it's over, how do you feel then? You with me? This is what the enemy does. He only wants you to think about at the very beginning of it, right? Talk to a lot of teenagers that are struggling with sex outside of marriage. You know, you talk to these young boys, yeah, I know, but man, Pastor, you don't understand. I mean, she was looking fine. I know she's fine. She's fearfully and wonderfully made, but she's a child of God. Leave her alone, right? And so they said, no, but I, you know, just things happen. And I thought about it, and then I got stirred up, and I got a little hot and heated, and she did too, and, you know, and then we took, and I said, okay, and then what happened? Well, we chose to have sex. I said, yeah, for about 3 minutes you had sex, probably 30 seconds, right? You had sex, and then what happened? Oh, man, I felt pretty bad. You felt bad? Yeah, I felt so guilty. I felt dirty. You with me? Why don't you start thinking about how you felt being guilty and dirty and regretting what you did, now worrying if you got her pregnant or not? Why don't you think those thoughts before you ever think about going in to begin with? Amen? Intellect, emotion, and will. And so there's a door that the enemy, he's always knocking on that door. You know, he's pounding, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Well, what about that one? What about that girl? What about this thing? You know, it's always something. Keep the door shut. Amen? The door will now be open. And if you do, listen, when you open that door, you're now having the enemy giving them legal access into an area of your life. And when you do that, there's bondage that follows. No matter what the sin may be, if you open the door, bondage is going to end up following if you don't repent of that sin. Amen? Let me give you a story. Y'all know the story from 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know about King David and Bathsheba. You know the story, right? Let's just take the example I just gave you, an open door. What did he do? Well, he should have been in battle, but instead he was taking his ease and he was relaxing. And that afternoon he took a nap. After he got through with his nap, he went up to the roof, and as he was up there, strategically, the enemy had already had something planned out. You don't think they planned something? You don't think they're strategic in their plans? You don't think that some woman just happens to be your, walk your way and look your way and wink at you and think you're something else, that that's just a coincidence? I don't think so. Do you think her bathing at the same time was a coincidence? No, it's strategic. The enemy's real. He's out to destroy you. So what did he do? He had Bathsheba bathing at that time. So here's David. He's up there. He's relaxing. He's up the roof. And all of a sudden, he looks over and he sees this woman. He says, whoa, that baby would be looking fine. What was that? First thought. What happened if he would have closed the door? If he would have kept it shut? What happened if he would have rejected it? No story, right? No story. But what did he do? He thought about it. Then he felt it. He desired it, and of his own choice, he sent people over, go get that woman. I want to have sex with her. And that's exactly what happened. You think, well, is that the end of the story? No, it's just the beginning. He didn't see the potential of his choice. You can overcome sin and keep the door shut if you will look at the potential of the sin that could be destroying your life. Amen? So what did he do? He has sex with her, and he thinks, well, man, that was a nice afternoon. She's a good-looking woman. That was really good. Now send that woman home, even though she's married to one of my mighty men, 30 mighty men, Uriah the Hittite. You know, well, hey, you know, everything was good. Nice afternoon, you know. Chalk up another one for King David. Everything is good. We're talking about the man after God's own heart. We're talking about the man who killed Goliath. We're talking about the man that when he came in, that Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands. That's why I'm talking to you tonight. Why? Because if he's going after David, he's coming after you. Are you with me? Man, there's big pastors who are falling all the time. Hello? It don't matter where you are and how many people are in your church. The higher you go, the harder you're going to fall if you don't watch it. That's why, man, with fear and trembling, we walk this thing out. Amen? We're going to walk in victory. Here's what we look at. Now she comes back and she said, King David, we got a problem. You got a problem? What's your problem? I'm pregnant. And oh, by the way, it's not by my husband because he's been in battle where he should be. He hadn't even been around. What happens now? The dominoes begin to fall. Consequences begin to happen. Oh, I didn't mean to. I just wanted to please my flesh a little bit. Hello? That's all I want to do is just please my flesh a little bit. I mean, I didn't mean to get into any mess. And, you know, so here comes the schemes and the strategies of the devil. You see that? You know the story. But some of you may be young, and the Lord, let me just tell you the story. You know what he did? He goes and he gets his servant and said, listen, we got to get the guy out of the battlefield, and we got to get him in the bed with his wife so we can cover our sin. Anybody try to cover your sin? I think I got away with it. Oh, maybe I did, but oh, what can I do to cover that sin instead of confess it? Hello? Right then, he could have, if he would have gone in and brought Uriah the Hittite in, maybe it would have been a bad scene there for a little bit. He could have said, hey, Uriah, look, I know I'm king and I did something, you know, I have caused you a lot of pain and hurt, asked that you would forgive me, but I laid with your wife and now she's pregnant. I will do anything and everything I can to take care of you, take care of this family, take care of this baby. I will do it. He could have done that. He could have asked for forgiveness. He could have done it. No, he didn't do it. Why? Because the door was open. And when the door is open, the enemy has access into the way you think. And the way this mighty man of God was thinking, it was negative. And so he said, let me scheme and get him here. And while he was here, what happened? He was a righteous man. He said, hey, go home, take your ease, be with your wife. Everything's going to be good. What does he do? The next morning, you know, he's thinking, oh, guess he went in, slept with his wife. Everything's great. Was it great? No. He goes and finds that he was asleep. Oh, by the way, Uriah, he was asleep at the gate with the rest of the guys. What? Bring him in here. Hey, bro, what happened? Why didn't you go home, man? Why didn't you get a nice meal? You know, home-cooked meal, sleep with your wife, you know, have everything good. No, the ark is out in the field. My men, my friends are out here fighting for you. Who am I to go and take my ease? I can't take my ease. So what does he do? He brings him in, scheming again. Let's party. Let's get him drunk. Got him drunk. And he said, okay, go home. Be with your wife. Can you do that? No, he didn't do it. Why? He's still righteous. Drunk, but he was righteous. He had the right thing, his right heart. Now we got a scheme. How in the world can one little sin, one little choice of looking at a woman and thinking, man, I would like that. Now he's scheming, even to the point of sending him out to battle with a note. And he sent it to his commander and said, put Uriah the Hittite close to the wall. And then when it's time to come, retreat so he'll be killed. He went from committing adultery, thinking it was one little sin, God will forgive me, to now he's a schemer, he's a planner, and now he's a murderer. You see how it works? And you're thinking, but certainly they can't happen to me. Oh, it can. Every single one of us. Why? Because the enemy's knocking on your door. And see, if you think I'm, you know, I can come up here and I can sing and I can dance and I can shout and I can do that and the devil's going to leave you alone. No, he's just gathering up more men to try to do it. But let me tell you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. I want you walking in victory every single day. Amen. Romans 6:16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Choices. Every single day we're going to choose whether I'm going to keep that door shut or I'm going to open it. What is sin? Let me ask you a question. What sin, not a weakness, but what wickedness are you willfully hanging on to? That's a question you need to answer. What is it? Are you here tonight? Some of you say, man, I am free. I've been praising God and my heart's awesome. That's great. Man, we rejoice. That's why we come to church. That's why we praise. That's why we worship, right? We get in the face of God. He's holy, man, and his righteousness covers us. But there may be some here that you're hanging on to a sin and that door is open. And it's not going to be just that one sin. There's a lot more because you've given legal access. And when you look in the Bible, there's 14 root spirits. 14 root spirits that now have access into you. Not to possess you if you're a Christian, but to oppress you and to control you the way you think, the way you feel. What are we talking about? He's going after your soul, your intellect, emotion, and will. The way you think, the way you feel, and even the desires you have. And he'll begin to control those. How in the world have we seen over and over and over guys who have come in, girls who have come in, they say, man, I'm going to get free. I'm going to get sober and whatever. Man, they do it. It's so great. And many of you, even the pastor's got a testimony of that. Man, we continue to walk in victory. I got a history of that. Drugs, alcohol, and a whole lot of stupidity. Amen. Anybody agree with me? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. That's us. But what we didn't realize is the consequences of that. But now that we know that we can walk in victory, but if we don't, There's root spirits are able to come into our lives and they control. Let me tell you, when I counsel with those who are dealing with drugs, alcohol, or some type of addiction, it could be pornography, it could be gambling, all types of things that, you know, people deal with. I don't deal with that problem. I deal with the spirit that's controlling that problem. It's a spirit of bondage. You follow me? It's a spirit of bondage. There's a lot there that you've got to see, and even in your counseling and ministering to people, you know, they say, well, you know, I've got this drug problem. Yeah, no, it's a spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. You see the difference? It'll change the way that you counsel when you're dealing with those that are dealing with sin and demonic forces. Did he get access through his lies, his deception, his accusations, his condemnation, his doubts, fears, and unbelief? The enemy's going to come, and we talked about it yesterday morning, and try to get you to doubt the word of God than to doubt his power. And I want to tell you, let me say before we go any further, if you're sitting here already and you think, man, I got that door open, freedom is here tonight. Freedom and cleansing and forgiveness is here tonight. You can walk out of here free. And I want to tell you, what I'm teaching you tonight, I've used in counseling for a number of years. And the reason why I felt that God wanted me to share this was because I heard the pastor's message from last Sunday. And as I was listening to that, I was thinking, they're going to win a whole lot of souls, but there's some people are going to go out and they're not going to have their armor on. And they're going to be a big target. And they may be some defeated people, and they don't even know it. All of a sudden, you think, man, I'm here worshiping, and I am dealing with it. And now, 3 weeks, you hadn't been to church, 4 weeks, what happened? Door's open. Well, we're going to keep that from happening, amen? Because this place is going to be filled over and over and over. Pastor's praying for 10,000, amen? Let me read you 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to go there just for a second. Because this is why it's important. Oh, do you not know that the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Amen? That's what some of you were. You're not now, but you were washed. Anybody need a brainwashing? Amen? You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. He knew, I got to keep the door shut. Why? Because if I don't, something's going to master me. You see that? You're going to get it. And it's gonna set you free. You're gonna walk as a mighty giant of God. I will not be mastered by anything. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Here's his challenge. Flee from sexual immorality. In other words, what is he saying? Keep the door shut. Keep the door shut. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever commits sin sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Amen. That's when you say, when the enemy comes knocking, you say, no, I don't think so. I'm going to honor God with this body. This body's robed in righteousness. This body's been cleansed and justified and sanctified. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I know the consequences of it. I know the guilt and the shame is going to come if I do. I recognize that. Amen? You get the point? Paul said, I'm not going to be mastered by anything. Here's the thing, showing that we can be mastered by demons, even though the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Not possessed, but oppressed. We can be oppressed, we can be controlled by depression, anxiety, and fear. And let me tell you, as a pastor of a church, and been ministering to people, it's amazing to me how many people who are in the church today still taking meds for depression and anxiety and fear. Where did that come from? I say that with love. I say, well, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. But it's amazing. But once they understand the truth of God's word, they're set free. Peace begins to dominate their life. Amen. That may be you. You may struggle with anxiety attacks. You're in the right place. Why? Because you're going to be set free tonight. Amen. That's just the truth. Here we go. Door number two, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In 1 John 4:4, we talked about this yesterday, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. So what is the definition? Unforgiveness is refusing to let go of or excuse a debt owed by another person. In other words, it's sin. Unforgiveness is sin. Forgiveness, what is it? It's a supernatural ability given to us by God to remove our judgment and to release the debt owed by another person. You get that? It's a product of our spirit. We move from the hurt in our soul to operating in the spirit. Our soul, this is where the enemy wants to attack us, in our emotions. We're feeling it. But we're going to move from that because we have hatred, we got bitterness, man, we got vengeance in our heart, you know, because somebody has hurt us, somebody has wounded us. But we move into that to the power and let the Holy Spirit help us because we need to be worshiping and praying in the spirit. Jesus teaches on forgiveness. In Matthew 18:21-22, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? He thought, man, I'm cutting a rug, baby. I'm going to give him a greater seven times. No, but Jesus didn't say that. No, not seven. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven, 490 times. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? You think, how in the world am I going to let the same person do the same thing to me 490 times? Somewhere about 54, 55, he's getting punched. You know, I mean, I only got so much of Jesus. You know, we're going to throw down. We're going to do something, man. I'm breaking that boy's face if he does it again. He did it again. Number 58, 59. No, I don't think so. And I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I was just praying about this. How is it that we can have, you have a scripture 490 times? You know what the Lord showed me? It's not that they had it 499 times. You know what it is? It's the enemy can bring it to you, that one negative, painful experience, 490 times. You get that? Let me make it clear. Let's say, for an example, of course, we're not talking about anybody here, but let's say that there's a spouse that's unfaithful. You have a husband that may be unfaithful, a wife that may be unfaithful. What does it do? It hurts the marriage. It hurts the spouse, right? There's a lot of pain. The foundation is fractured, right? But you can have counseling. You come get in the word, and God helps you through it, heals you through it, right? But you can be driving down the road, and what does the enemy do? The enemy will bring that to your remembrance. Well, look at what she did. Look at what he did, you know? 490 times, you think, and you say, hey, I forgive. As God has forgiven me, I forgive them. And you have to remind when they're knocking on the door of unforgiveness, you just have to scream. Don't open the door. Just scream, forgiven, forgiven. Yeah, but you know what she did? You know what he did? They were there with someone. Man, they happened for 3 months. It happened for 6 months. You didn't know anything about it. Man, what a fool you are. Forgiven. As Jesus has forgiven me, I have forgiven them. They're forgiven. You have to live that. You got to pray that. You got to believe that. You got to walk in it. Why? Because if you go according to your emotions, if you let those thoughts of what happened get into your emotions, now you're going to be mad. And then by the time you get home, the enemy's already stirred you up. And what is the goal of the enemy? Steal your joy. Man, you can be fired up from service and you're driving down, and you're singing a praise song. I like these songs. These are good songs, man. I'm going to steal some of these songs. I don't know how. Yeah, the good stuff. You're going along, man. You got the joy of the Holy Ghost and that thought can come in. If you don't kick it out immediately, what are you going to do? He just stole your joy. Oh, man, I remember that. Oh, I can't believe that happened. And it goes from your mind to your emotions. And by the time you get into the house, someone you have gone to counseling with, someone you have forgiven, someone you have gone on dates and you have laid the foundation of trust again, man, you're having this joy in your marriage again and everything is good. And the enemy can come along. He can stir that up. And it's been 6 months. It's been 2, 5, 10 years. And he can come in, you walk in the door, man, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe. And all of a sudden, you're seeing all the good stuff that God did in bringing healing. The enemy wants to destroy it. You see that? You see how important it is? Keep the door shut. The door of willful disobedience, the door of unforgiveness. Let me tell you, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's what I had to learn. And I want to tell you, these five doors that I'm telling you, you're going to have a mindset of keeping them closed every day. Every day. This isn't a one-time teaching. This is something you do every day. We were in about 3 years, Pastor. And you know how it is when you start from nothing and you out of your house and out of school and, you know, you're doing all this, man, for about 3 years straight. We didn't have a vacation. We didn't do anything. We just gonna win souls and do all of that. Finally, we took a break. I got three sons. We went up to Colorado, you know, got a little cabin by the lake. And, man, we're just gonna chill for about a week, just relax a little bit. My dad was a pastor of a church. He was there for 48 years. He had a youth pastor and a worship leader. Although the guy had been with him for 10 years, my dad had helped this guy out a bunch. Not mentioning any names, but I'm just telling you, he had blessed this guy through a lot of ups and downs. And that guy, and the youth guy and the worship guy, they chose, listen to this thoughts, they chose to split the church. They waited till my dad was going to leave. He loved to do missions. He was going to Kenya on Monday. On that Sunday, they walked forward and they resigned. And then that Sunday night, knowing my dad was leaving for 2 weeks to Kenya, East Africa, what did they do? They took, you know, those pictorial directories? Remember those? You got those directories? They took and started calling everybody in the church to come with them. It was demonic. I'm telling you, nothing of God at that. Didn't tell anybody in the South that they were doing it. They chose to do that. Now my dad is on the plane to go to Kenya. My mom's calling me. And man, she's crying. My mom doesn't cry. She's tough, all right? My mom doesn't cry. But she said, they're gone. And when somebody says they're gone, what do you think? Somebody's died, right? They're gone. So what do you mean they're gone? They're gone. And she mentions, you know, the guys' names, these two guys, and man, they've done this, and they've taken this many people, and they had this meeting on Sunday night, you know, and now they're gone. Your dad's already on a plane to Kenya, you know. How would you react if somebody hurt your mama and your daddy ain't there to fight it out with them, huh? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I thought it. I was feeling it. I'm like, load the truck, baby. We are going back to Texas. We're going to do some kicking in the name of Jesus. Hey, man, that was, oh, I can't believe you hurt my mom. You hurt my dad. You split the church. After all that my dad did for you, you know, I had all these thoughts going through my mind. And I'm telling you, in a moment, just like that, I'm in this little cabin, and there was a flash of a vision of five doors. And the Holy Spirit said, keep those doors shut. This is not your fight. I've got this. You with me? And that you have a church that you're leading. You keep leading that church. I will take care of this. Right? Not easy to do. Especially when my brother called and said, hey, did you hear this? Were you coming in? Oh, yeah, we're going to go over there. We're going to, yeah. I said, no, we're not. No, we're not. God showed me to keep those doors shut. Right? You have to do. Why? It's real. I was just on vacation. I didn't know the enemy's going to slap me upside the head. You don't know when it's coming, but when it's coming, you got to say, keep the door shut. Amen? Got to do it. Here's why it's important. You have a choice. You and I have a choice. We're going to allow to let the Holy Spirit live in us. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, right? So we know the fruits of the Spirit. We want to live in that. We want to be filled, Spirit-filled people. Right? All the time. And when people see us, they see the joy of the Lord in our life. We want to love people. We just want to do that. But here's what unforgiveness will do. If you allow unforgiveness to dwell in your life, something's going to happen. It's going to start out with anger. It's where I was. You know, them sorry suckers. Boy, they're doing that to my dad. I can't believe it. Started out, but I had to get rid of it because anger will turn to hatred. You know, listen to me. If you got a note, put it down. This is real. Anger will turn to hatred. Hatred will turn to bitterness, and bitterness becomes a root. The root of bitterness in your life. And that root will grow down in your soul. What is that? Your emotions, the way you think, the way you feel, the choices that you make. And what is the negative part of that? You're going to have that root coming up and it'll begin to bear fruit. And all of that fruit is going to be negative emotions, anger, jealousy, envy. You got all of that. And when people come around you, you got this negative fruit hanging off of you. You know, I mean, let me talk to dads for a minute. If you got anger problems because you hadn't forgiven someone, it's probably your wife and your children who are dealing with it, right? This is why we got to be careful with it, because we got this fruit, and for no reason, people get near to you and you're slapping them with anger for no reason. They didn't do anything to you. You got a bad attitude. You know, you walk into the room and the kids are like, oh, God, what's he doing now? Here's the good news. The power of Jesus can uproot that tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen? He can uproot it. He can set you free from it. Some of you have been living in anger for so long. Some of you have been holding judgment against somebody who's hurt you. And let me say this. I will not belittle the way people can be hurt. The enemy can hurt us. I talked to Brother Dave yesterday. Are you here, Dave? Is he here tonight? Dave Lemire? You know what I'm talking about? There you go. That brother right there, he had to live it. Do you mind if I share? I think it was a divine appointment. I don't know if you know his story. Maybe many of you do. He's been here for a while. But in 1991, a man kidnapped his daughter, murdered her. How do you live with that? He had to deal, his testimony, he had to deal with everything that was in him. You know, my first inclination is, I'll get the gun, I'll load it. Just you aim, baby. We'll take that guy out. That's our first inclination. But the power of God began to heal him. And where it begins, listen to me, healing begins at the point of forgiveness. You will not be healed. You will not be delivered until you get healed and you forgive, and then healing begins to flow. Are you with me? It works. And if you haven't had a chance to talk to that man, he will tell you. We can talk about little stuff that people did to hurt our feelings. No, that goes a whole lot deeper. And you need to sit with this man and say, if you got some problems, let him tell you. What we talked about yesterday is what the devil meant for destruction, God will turn into a ministry. That man's been ministering to people who've gone through similar things. Amen? You get that? It's important that you understand the healing needs to come, right? Once you forgive, you will have freedom. It's the truth of God's word. It's amazing how many people, they'll hang on to it. I just want to say this. It's not about that person. This is where you mess up. Yeah, but look what he did. No, I know. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. God will take care of him. God's a big God. If you're one of his children, just think about it. That's my daughter. That's my son. That's what happened. Guess what? God will take care of it. You pray for your enemies, right? There's been a lot of times, man, we see that enemies have been turned around and saved. We got a guy in our church. It's an amazing story. We have a guy in our church. He grew up right across the street from me. I've known him almost my whole life. But when he was 19 years old, he was a drug dealer. Drug deal went bad, and the guys came in. They took the dope, and they took the money, a lot of money. He was working out of New York, right? Well, the big man in New York told him, he said, you either get my money or you get my drugs or we're going to kill you. This is a guy who's a member of our church. He fixes our coffee every Sunday, right? What did he do? He found the first guy the next night. He killed him. And then the guy from New York sent one of his hitmen down, and they were together. They found the next guy 2 weeks later. What did he do? Killed him. But then the hitman ratted on him because he thought that he was already in trouble, and he turned him in, and he got caught. He spent 10 years in prison. Do you know what happened in that 10 years? One of the young men who got killed, his mother was a Christian. And she began to write, Paul Quinn is his name. She began to write to Paul and say, hey, I'm so-and-so's mama. I just want to let you know, I forgive you. She wrote him for 10 years every week. And it was through that that Paul got saved, that Paul understood forgiveness. Paul understood what Jesus did on the cross, that no matter how bad your sin is, that his blood will forgive you. It was through the power of forgiveness that healing began. You get that? Tonight, some of you, you will get out of prison the moment that you forgive. Amen? We're going to move on. Because we see in the, we know the story in Matthew 18 where the king, he forgave the guy who owed him about $20 million, and then he goes out and grabs the guy by the throat, his friends, who owed him about 12 bucks, and he said, hey, man, you owe me 12 bucks. And he said, man, I don't have any. Threw him in debtor's prison. And then the king found out about it. You know, what did he do? He went out and got him, brought him back in. He said, man, didn't I not forgive you $20 million? Didn't I forgive you that? Yeah. Well, why didn't you forgive somebody else? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, hey, why is it in your mind you forget this mountain of sin that Jesus has forgiven you of? All right, let's take a cinder block for every sin that we committed. Our sins would look like these mountains out here, right? And then you come along and somebody did something to hurt you and you got a little bitty molehill over here. We got moles in Texas. Yeah, a little molehill right here, a little pile of dirt. And you're all messed up because they did that and you forgot what he did right here. And that's why Jesus gave this illustration. He said, I've forgiven you so much. How can you not forgive him? And then he goes a little further. He said, if you're not going to forgive him, my Father's not going to forgive you. So what do we do? Keep the door shut. The door of unforgiveness and the enemy's knocking. Tonight, God's going to set you free. And then we're going to go with one more and we're going to be through. And that is this. The door of number three is emotional trauma. Let me give you the other two. Willful disobedience is number one if you're taking notes. Unforgiveness is the door number two. Emotional trauma is number three. Vows and judgments are number four. And number five is generational curses. Your pastor has probably already taught you about all of that. But let's look at emotional trauma just for a moment. Emotional trauma, these are inner wounds caused by sudden physical or emotional shock that causes lasting damage to the psychological, spiritual, and emotional development of a person. Two kinds of wounds. I think I need to read that again. Inner wounds caused by sudden physical or emotional shock that causes lasting damage to the psychological, spiritual, and emotional development of a person. Two kinds of wounds. One that we had a part in causing, such as disobedience, which resulted in a consequence of our sinfulness, and one that we had no part in, such as rape, abuse, molestation. And this is what we see. Each of us may have been traumatized in different ways, different actions, events, and to various degrees. We'll respond to them differently, even if we are in the same family. And although that happens to us is out of our control, our response to what happens is under our control. You follow me? Here's the sad part. If we were to ask the question, how many women here were molested when you were young? I'd probably see too many hands, and it really break my heart. Even with some young men, maybe molested. I don't know what happened. These are the secrets that people keep. These are the things that people want to hide, right? But I want to tell you, this is where God can bring healing. And what the enemy wants to do, though, he wants to knock on that door and remind you of the hurt that was given. And what's hurting people today, families all over, because you can just write it off, because we don't get along, you can have a divorce just like that. And we don't see the traumatic influence it's having on children, on the other spouse, on the families that are involved. It's emotional trauma. And here where we see, this is what we find out, that there are a lot of children who have been wounded and we don't even know A lot of parents don't even know what's happening in the schools. A lot of parents don't even know what's happening in the daycare. There's things happening. We need to talk with our kids. Why is it important? I will tell this story and we're getting ready to close. I had a woman and she's in our church and she kept trying to get her husband to come to me because he was, in her opinion, he was a mean drunk. Oh, he's mean. He drinks and man, he's mean when he gets drunk. So he finally came in to see me and she's sitting there, you know, and the Holy Spirit, you know, she talked about the alcohol and him drinking and everything else. The Holy Spirit just put it in my heart. Ask him what his pain is. I said, what's your pain? He said, what? I said, what is your pain? Because you're trying to numb the pain with your alcohol. What is your pain? That man, I'll be real tough. All of a sudden, he broke. Tears began to roll down his eyes. He looked at her, his wife. He looked at me, looked back at her, and then he looked at me and said, I have never told anybody this in my life. He said, but when I was 5 years old, my dad molested me. And I can't get over it. I drink every day until I get drunk where I won't think about it again. Emotional trauma. That door is real. And it's been open, but I want to tell you, if you've been through that and you've been wounded, the healing power of Jesus Christ is here. And he can heal you tonight. He can heal you. God is saying, I love my church. I love my children. I love my bride. But I see how there's hurt. I see how they're hiding it. They're shameful. They don't want to talk about it. They're afraid somebody's going to get word of it. They may spread it around. No, let me tell you something. That is how the enemy works. That's not how the bride of Christ works. That's not how this church works. It's a safe place here. You come before the Lord, you get healing. If you got some doors open, and let me tell you, I have talked to so many, and the majority by far, I say 85%. When I talk about these doors, I'll say, do you have any doors open? This is their response. Oh, Pastor, they're all open. Matter of fact, they're open and off the hinges. And when they begin to confess that doors are open, then they can realize, I have an opportunity now by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ to repent, to shut the door, apply the blood of Jesus on them, and keep them shut, and walk in victory and walk in healing. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Listen, don't let pride keep you in the seat. Whatever it may be, you may be hanging on, man, with some anger, unforgiveness. Maybe you've been wounded. And it's been bothering you for a long, long time. You've never told anybody about it. You don't have to tell anybody but Jesus here. But God's going to heal you. God's going to heal you. Let me say, I had five women in a row, 5 weeks in a row. They gave almost the identical story, how they were abused from the time they were 8 to 16. In three situations, they ran away. They ended up in cartels working as prostitutes because they'd have any other way to make money. Their lives have been terrorized, trauma. But in those situations, God brought healing in their life. Amen? I pray tonight that you would allow God to do a work in your life. I want us to stand. Would you do that? Just stand. And Pastor, could the prayer team come? And we're going to be here just for a moment. They're only going to sing just one song. This isn't going to be a long, drawn-out thing. But this is what I want to say. Tonight, let the opportunity, let God set you free. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, only by the power of your Spirit can you move people out of their seats to come get healing. Father, there's some here that have been through, like Dave, Lord, a grief so deep we can't even come near comprehending it. But yet you were there. Lord, at the bottom of the barrel where he was, you reached him, you touched him, you healed him, and you gave him the power to forgive. God, only you can do that. Lord, do your work tonight as only you can. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.